Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the QuickBook Podcast. Lots of selection news to discuss today from Australian and Indian cricketing circles, and we'll look at the first day of the second test between England and West Indies and maybe touch on England's selections, particularly in the bowling department after giving Jimmy Anderson the tap on the shoulder to retire. Sharbel here from QuickBlog alongside Nash. Nash, welcome. How's things?
Yeah, things are good. Things are good. Lots to discuss this week, and cricket's happening everywhere. T20 cricket, Test cricket, franchise cricket. So yeah, lots to discuss.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about Australia's selection for the T20s and ODIs in Scotland and England coming up. Particularly excited because we spoke in the last episode about Australia needing to start looking at some younger talent coming into international cricket, giving them a taste. And that's what they're going to do with Cooper Connolly. They've
Yes.
selected the 20-year-old from Western Australia. He's played for Australia at under 19 level at two separate World Cups. He's done some wonderful things for Perth Scorchers in the BBL. Hit a 90 on Sheffield Shield debut, which was actually a final last season. So really excited that he's in the squad and giving him that taste of international cricket for in the T20 format.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of our listeners and fans would remember Cooper from that Perth Scorchers game a couple of years ago at the grand final, where he played a crucial knock at the end of the innings to take Perth home. But yeah, as you rightly mentioned, he has already a long list of a short list, but a good list of performances, in Sheffield Shield in domestic one day games. At under 19 level. So yeah, and we can see where the Australian trajectory is going now that they're trying all these youngsters, they are trying all these new players along with the older stars, along with the veterans, so that they can gel and mix well before the next World Cup, before the next T20 World Cup, before the next One Day World Cup. So that's really good to see from the Australian selectors.
And the thing about Cooper Connolly as well, he can bowl. So he's got
Yes.
the decent left arm spin option. He's shown some good signs there too. So he offers Australia that point of difference, the left arm spin. I'd really like to see him develop that further because that could be very handy in the subcontinent for the next World Cup if he does indeed go there. So that's really exciting. Jake Fraser-McGurk there as well. He'll replace David Warner at the top. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this this tour of Scotland and England because you get to see some new talent,
Yep. And
and I think that's what Australia got to focus on.
one player I want to get your thoughts on who's not in the squad, but he's a youngster again, like Cooper Connolly. I think they played in the same batch in under 19, is Campbell Kellaway.
Yeah.
He has done good, relatively good in the domestic circuit as well, in the big bash as well. He's an up and coming name amongst the circuit. Maybe selectors would have liked to try him as well, but I think his time is certainly this summer where he has to perform and get his name up the selection list. What do you think about him?
I see him more at the moment as a red ball talent rather than white ball at this stage. I think he's done some good things in red ball cricket. I think he hit a good scored a good knock in the tour game against South Africa, if I'm not
Yep.
mistaken,
Yep.
last season. So there's some good things about him in red ball. There's other couple of white ball options there as well in terms of Ollie Davies. If he can have a really good big bash season coming up and a good domestic season. He could get his name, in white ball cricket for Australia in the next couple of years because he's got a very good first class record on difficult pitches at the SCG and he scores quickly.
Yep.
So he's one to keep an eye out for if he can have the drive. Because I've heard a couple of things in the past that Ollie Davies is, maybe can be more driven, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah,
But he's got the talent.
definitely.
But in terms of Kellaway, he's in the sort of same boat as, your Teague Wileys and these guys where they're good, and even Nathan McSweeney, they're very good red ball prospects. They can be in Australia's red ball teams in the coming years. So we'll see, yeah, this upcoming season is going to be really interesting.
One question for you from a captaincy point of view. We got Mitch Marsh, who is almost at the end of
Yeah.
his career now. I think what he's 35, 36.
Yep.
Is this tour, are they looking at a potential captain for the next, like, look, I want to believe that Mitch Marsh would be there at the 27 One Day World Cup, but I don't see that happening, to be honest. And is this the start where is this the tour where they start looking at that captaincy options? And because I want to float a name, which is Cameron Green, who has been around the international circuit for a while now, for almost 3 4 years, good head on his shoulders, a balanced cricketer, can bat, can bowl, can field, all round, just a good prospect as a captain. What do you make of Cameron Green as a potential captain? And if not,
Possibly.
who else?
Possibly. I think Australia first, before giving Cameron Green captaincy, they've got to figure out what his exact role is in the T20 team. Really lock that in first. I don't mind looking at Travis Head as a potential captain. He's got leadership experience. He's captained South Australia before, and he's going to be a lock in Australia's T20 team. I don't mind that at all. There were some shortcomings with Marsh, I thought, as captain in the recent T20 World Cup. I think, look, overall as a team, we didn't play well. We didn't field well in particular. So I don't want to pin Marsh only, but you're right. This again, you've got to look at the captain going forward. Who's that going to be? Is it going to be Marsh for that 26 World Cup? Will he even be in the team then? There's questions to be had. So these bilaterals are quite important for particular players. It's, you're staking your claim for being in the team for bigger tournaments coming up. But yeah, I think Travis Head would be a good candidate. Personally.
And it's a good tour. Like, it's they're playing three T20s against Scotland, and three T20s against England, and then five ODI. So it's a relatively long white ball tour.
There's opportunities, right? There's
Yes.
opportunities to sort of mix and match and try different things. And I hope the weather holds. I think it's September period in Scotland and England. So hopefully the weather holds, you get the full matches there.
I mean, all you can guess, in Scotland it's going to rain at least one game.
Oh, that's yeah. Particularly in September, I think it rains a lot, if I'm not mistaken, in Scotland at that time of year. So hopefully, for Scotland's sake as well, this is a big series for them to have Australia in town. Hopefully that works out all right. But some great opportunities for Australia to try a few different players. Matt Short, he won't be in the T20s because I think his wife's be going to give birth around that time, but he'll be in there for the one days. So. He's another player to watch out for. Tweeted the other week that if he can really improve his game against spin, he can be a wonderful all-round player for Australia in white ball cricket. He's got the fielding, he's got off-spin option, and he's a wonderful hitter of the ball. I think player of the series in the last two Big Bash tournaments, if I'm not mistaken. So he's a player to watch out for too. And Spencer Johnson and these guys, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Well, moving from one selection to another selection, which is the Indian squad for the white ball tour in
Yes.
Sri Lanka, T20s and one day. And from the get-go, I think it's not a surprise squad. There isn't many who are missing, or there isn't any names that are like, oh, why is he there? And I'll always have my reservations of Shivam Dubey as an international cricketer, which I've expressed quite a few times, and I
Yes.
still do, and many people do, but he's there. I mean, we can't do anything about it. And I think they just want to give him that one another chance.
I don't mind that. I don't mind giving him another chance. I mean, you don't want to discard someone so quickly.
I guess so. I guess so. But I think the World Cup played a lot of mental toll on most of the players. So this can be a tour where they look to get their balance right for 2026, 27, and see who's on the up. And one day squad looks very, at least the playing 11 looks very well settled, if not totally settled, because you got Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill at the top, you got your Virat Kohli, you got your Shreyas Iyer there, you got KL Rahul as the wicket keeper.
Expect Rahul to bat five,
It will be interesting to see how Rishabh Pant fits in there after he missed the World Cup. So, you got your Akshar Patel, your Kuldeep Yadav, your fast bowlers, because obviously Jasprit Bumrah is missing. One of Khalil Ahmed, Harshdeep Singh will play, or even Harshit Rana. And it'll be really interesting to see how the new people fit into this sort of mold of the squad that played the World Cup last year in one day format, that is. And the T20, it's like a a new squad altogether with the veterans missing. Obviously, you got Ravi Bishnoi as the lead, as a spinner. You got Washington Sundar who can bat, and that gives a great option down the order. He can bat up the order as well. And Akshar Patel is obviously there with Shivam Dubey, Rinku Singh as the finisher, and looking pretty strong at the top as well with Shubman Gill and Yashasvi Jaiswal, well, obviously the legendary Surya Kumar Yadav, the T20 batter as well.
Yeah, so on Surya Kumar Yadav, I have a question for you. What do you make of him being selected as the captain for the T20 squad? I thought it could be Hardik Pandya
Look,
potentially, but
I think I was just discussing this with a friend half an hour ago actually, and it wasn't a surprise for me as such, because after Rohit Sharma, I kept saying, you know, it has to be someone who is in the squad all the time, which is not Hardik Pandya, to be honest. If you look at it from a stability point of view, yes, Hardik Pandya is this great clutch player who performs in pressure situations, but given his injury troubles, given his body, I don't have that confidence that he'll feature in
okay.
all the games that are played. And
That's fair enough.
if he breaks down in the middle of a World Cup, which has happened, I think the thought was the team doesn't want that instability when it comes to a role as a captaincy. And he provides bowling, he provides batting, he absolutely great player, no doubt about it. But when it comes to injuries, I think we have facts before us rather than just theories. So I think they just wanted to
Makes
go with a
sense.
stronger player, stronger candidate for a captain. And that's why we don't see Jasprit Bumrah being a captain as well, because yes, he's one of, not one of the, he's probably, in my opinion, the greatest Indian bowler to ever play cricket. But he has that injury scare. You know, with the bowlers, you just have that injury scare
And
with the,
he's
yeah,
managed a lot as well. He'll miss games
exactly.
for, to be
Exactly. And I
rested and
would
all that.
rather see Bumrah in red ball than white ball. So I think that was the thought that went behind this. And obviously with the ODI squad, I think this tour selection makes it a bit clear that we will see Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli until the South Africa World Cup in 2027. And with the new coach in Gautam Gambhir, I think it's going to be really interesting dynamic there, how his strategies and his thoughts are projected onto the field.
Yeah, I agree. I think you, particularly they've dropped the international T20 format now. They'll probably look to focus on getting to 27 and playing in that World Cup. And the Indian selectors believe that as well, picking them in this sort of series. Otherwise, you wouldn't pick them if you didn't have plans to play them in that World Cup.
And
In
mind you,
terms of
sorry,
the few.
just to point out, this T20 squad has big responsibility on its shoulder as well, because the
Big
2026
time.
World Cup, they're going in as defending champions, they're going home World Cup. It's going to be massive for these youngsters to show up. And
Yes. Good point.
I think they will. They already have proven themselves at the international level, in IPL as well. So I think that pressure is off. But I think it's the pressure of the tag defending champions and the home World Cup.
It'd be interesting to see as well in terms of ODIs who gets that wicket-keeping spot, because KL
Yes.
Rahul was good last year at number five. He made that position his own, but Rishabh Pant is there now, so
Look, I
that's
think
going to
I
be
won't
really
go
interesting to
past KL
see.
Rahul at this stage. I think he has proven himself in that number five position as a wicketkeeper as well. Bowlers can rely on him. That's why I'm a bit skeptical of how Rishabh Pant will fit into this playing 11, but I think they'll find a way. I think they'll find a way.
Yeah, because if you don't play Rishabh Pant and you play KL Rahul, that's your top six of full right-handers.
Yes.
So, you can have Rishabh Pant there breaking it up, and of course, we know his impact. So that'd be interesting. That's what these sort of series gives you the opportunity to do. But I think he'll probably get the nod, Pant, if I'm going to have a guess. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Fascinating. I think they'll do well in Sri Lanka. They won't have too many problems there, I don't think. There's a lot of strength in depth in Indian cricket, with the likes of Jaiswal there and Gill. And I thought Akshar Patel had a very good World Cup. I
Yes.
know he went for a bit in the final with the ball, but his innings was crucial with the bat, and he gives them so much depth there that India don't always have. So that's absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. On to England, West Indies. The second test began yesterday. But before we talk about the day itself, just a bit of a shout out, of course, again to Jimmy Anderson. 188 tests. He finished with 704 wickets. A wonderful career.
Is
England,
that is that
sort
is
of.
is that a smug smile I see because you finished
No,
behind
it's.
Shane Warne? Is that a smug
No.
smile
Oh,
I
yeah,
see?
look, yeah, that's good for an Australian perspective, of course. But for me, Shane Warne is arguably the greatest bowler to ever live. So no matter who goes ahead of him, Shane Warne,
Yeah, fair
the
enough.
GOAT for me. But in terms of Anderson, England gave him the tap on the shoulder, we know that. And then in this test, they play what a 34-year-old Mark Wood and what a 35, 36-year-old Chris Wokes, who himself is not great overseas, and they're talking about planning for next year's Ashes. So what's going on there? I thought they'd look at blooding in some youngsters, and this is the perfect time and the perfect series to do it.
Yeah,
Am I missing
exactly.
something
I
here?
mean, surely there's some good bowlers out there in the domestic circuit,
Yeah.
and as you rightly pointed out, playing a 35-year-old and a 34-year-old fast bowler, mind you, Mark Wood bowls at a high pace. Like he's one
I
of
don't
the
mind Mark
fastest
Wood being
bowlers,
there because I expect him to be there in Australia.
but my point is, yes, but my point is, how long will he last though with that sort of pressure on his body, and
That's
on
true.
his action? How long
That's
will he
true.
last as a 34, 35-year-old? He's incredibly fit,
Yeah.
yes, but it still takes a toll on you know, especially the Australia tour is going to be really, really hectic.
Will.
So
Yes.
it's going to be really interesting to see how England, now this gives England a perfect chance. If they lose, they can say, oh, we are a team in transition. No, you're not. You're not. You had your chances. Now you're just stuck. And
Yep.
I've seen sorry, I'm again going on a rant, but I've seen a few accounts yesterday on Twitter, going about and saying, oh, this point system, I'm not supportive of this point system. Who
Oh
puts
yeah.
the England
I saw
team
that.
in the final position? I'm like, you lost. That's why you're there. There is no other way you're there. You
Interesting,
lost.
isn't it?
You lost
Yeah.
your matches. Doesn't matter how you play. The point system is not based on how you play.
No.
It's based on how many games you
Your
win.
result.
That any point system in the world.
Contrary to what Ben Stokes said, it is based on what you get,
Exactly. It
not what
is
you become.
based on what you get. Yeah, no one gives a shit about what you become ultimately. It's about what you win. And because that's why the Indian team was crucified for the last 10 years, 10, 11 years, because they didn't win anything. Oh, so much money, so many talent, but doesn't win anything. Yes, but
Well,
we
that
could
was
have
Michael
easily
Vaughan
said,
saying that as well. Yeah.
yeah, we could have easily said, oh, it's about what how we do it and how we
Yeah.
play, not about what we win in the
I
end.
mean,
So,
Jay Shah said that in the after the 2023 World Cup, he goes, India won a lot of hearts, and he copped a
yeah,
lot of criticism for that.
exactly. I mean, England's not even winning hearts because they're doing it very arrogantly. So no one, literally, yeah, it's funny. And
Yeah.
then you have a batter like Joe Root who gets out in such a fashion.
Yes.
There's a lot of discussion around that.
I've got no issue with the point system the way it is now because teams are so unequal in terms of the number of games they play. Australia, India, and England are so far in front. So going on win percentage rather than how it was before, where you get 120 points for a two-match series
Yeah.
and less points for a three-match series and so on and so forth, what's your solution then?
Yep.
You
And
know,
that's my
if
problem. All these people who project these criticism, who say all these words, they never seem to have an actual solution of what they would
Well,
suggest. And
yeah, that's the thing, right? What's the solution? What is it here? The best solution would be let's have an equal playing field where we have an equal number of series across the cycle and other teams are involved. But unfortunately, that's not profitable for the big three more often than not.
But
That's why these
that's my
big three
point.
play the
How many
most.
times has Australia invited a Bangladesh or a Sri Lanka
Mate, we haven't invited
in the last
Bangladesh
few
since
years?
2003 for
In the
tests.
last few
It's
years,
just
exactly.
crazy.
How many times have England invited Bangladesh? For that matter, because how many times have England gone to Bangladesh in the last few years? I can remember maybe two,
England's last test tour, I think, would be 2016, if I'm not mistaken. And
Exactly.
then they last invited them 2010.
Exactly.
India didn't invite Bangladesh for, well, 19 years until, yeah,
Yep.
2019.
I just saw a tweet the other
What's
day.
the solution?
Michael Clarke's last 15 tests, not 15, last 20 tests, out of his last 20 tests, he played England 11 times. 11 or 12 times. And
Chris Rogers
then
had a short test career. They were all against England, I think. And
and then the other 7-8 tests were between India, South Africa, and West Indies. So you can gather from that what you want, because ultimately it's always going to be about the money. And I hate when it's just I bang my head against the wall, because people right now, West Indies are losing, and somehow they're all blaming on BCCI. I'm like, where does the BCCI come into this? I mean, just because BCCI gets all of the or most of the money doesn't mean, how about BCCI supporting the Afghanistan team, BCCI supporting the Nepal side, BCCI supporting the Sri Lanka team? I mean, BCCI supporting the Australia board during COVID when we toured here. It's, I mean, what has BCCI done that is, yes, there is a lot of evil, and I don't support.
Probably the argument is, right? The argument is the BCCI is doing very well. The ICC needs to do better at having a more equal distribution of funds around the world, which I do personally agree with. I think if
Yeah.
you want a good level playing field, if you want a good international game, the ICC needs to do more in terms of ensuring that that is the case, that
But
international, because it doesn't become.
there is a lot of, a lot of things that go in the back end. It's not about, okay, it's not only about the money. FIFA distributes money well, or people say that. But why can't a board like India, when it comes to football, which is a very weak team, can't
Yes.
it could be applied to all sports, is what I'm saying.
I get that. I understand
We
that. But
could
if,
say, oh, England or Brazil or France are so strong, why not just give us some of the money and we can use that? It's about
I
what you do
understand.
with that money at the grassroots level. And at this stage, if in a country like West Indies, if there is no real want or hunger for the test match game, then no matter what amount of money you give, there's nothing that's going to happen. It's about people actually wanting to go and visit the game, go and see the game, go and get involved at the grassroots level. This goes in Australia as well, in England as well. I mean, you've been in Australia for all your life. I've been in Australia for 10 years, and I've been involved in community cricket, and you can see the volunteers working. You can see,
I
there's a lot
understand.
of that goes behind the scenes, and that's where it all stands.
I get that, but the job of the ICC is to ensure that the international game is in a good position, and I don't know if they're doing enough about it. So the thing is, in the West Indies and South Africa and these countries, the situation is at this stage is that Test cricket is not profitable for them. So naturally, what they're going to do is they're going to move towards T20. So how is the ICC, how are the power brokers, how are the guys in the suits, the management, how are they going to ensure that Test cricket survives in those countries? And it's not just played between a few countries in a few years' time. Those are the questions you've got to ask, because that's the reality of it.
But
That's
there's
the
no,
reality
that's
of
what
it.
I'm saying. There's no one solution to it. It's a,
But I don't see any solution at the moment.
even I don't see any solution. But the
That's the
solution
problem
is
I've
not, the
got. What are you
solution is
doing?
not, the solution is not, based on just take money from other boards and hand it out to other boards. That's
Well,
not one of the
maybe
solution,
set some
because
objective, hold the boards as an ICC, set objectives with particular boards and hold them to account to them in terms of grassroots participation, in terms of first class structures. You know, have a look at these first class structures. What are you doing to ensure that you're going to be strong in red ball cricket? You know, work with the boards, hold
And
them to account, have some objectives. You know, there's things you can do, but I don't see anything being done.
that's the thing. If it's a business, isn't it? People forget that it's a it,
It is.
ultimately it is a business. Yes, it's a sport for us, but it has to be run like a business, otherwise it will just crumble. And
Of course. Yeah, I understand.
what you do in business is you look at profiting at all times, which is Yes, when you look at
Of
it from a
course.
sporting lens, it doesn't look right. But when you look at it from a business
I
lens,
know.
it is what it
That's
is.
the thing.
And the fact of the matter is, if the 90% of the revenue is coming from one country, and
Yeah.
if that country is getting 38%, isn't already that country giving up too much?
Fair point. That's fair. Because they do generate a lot.
Yeah,
And
and it's not like I'm not sitting here and I'm not oblivious to the troubles of other countries. I mean, I especially I've seen what happens in Australia with lack of money for clubs and for associations.
yes.
So, that is a real problem. But if you just look at it, let's say the amount of people that India has, that is its greatest strength and its greatest weakness at the moment, because that population just crumbles all the systems that are trying to be put in place. But that population also means more marketing, more eyes, more foot traffic, and that means more revenue. So if that my
Yeah.
question again goes to, if 90% of a business's revenue is coming from one country and the return is 38%, isn't that already less?
Yeah. Look, it's an interesting viewpoint. It's always going to make for a lot of debate. But I just, for me personally, I just don't know if enough is being done by the governing body to ensure that cricket is healthy around the world, particularly in the long format. Because yeah, where are we going to be in 10, 15 years? How many nations will be playing Test cricket? Is that a situation we want to be in? I still think very, very important that you develop your young players around the world. Getting their defense right first. Even if they want to become white ball players in the future, they've got to have a solid technique at least first, because you can't just be a slogger and make it at the high level.
And
Otherwise, you're going to struggle.
one thing, I was talking to a friend, and maybe we'll end this discussion here, otherwise we'll go all day.
Yeah, we could go all day.
I was talking to a friend, he suggested, or we were discussing that maybe the solution is that, make all test series a three or a four match test series. And then whatever at the moment the host country and the traveling nation foot all the bills
Yes.
of and the expenses. Maybe they do it for the first two tests, and then the third and fourth test the ICC steps in.
Well, that's what Ricky Ponting said in the past, have a pool for Test cricket that could assist boards, or can help strengthen the game, or the health of the game. Because I think the greatest teams for me are remembered what they do in Test cricket. I mean, that's just a personal thing. I just think, when you think of the great Australian teams, you think of the great South Africa team from a decade plus ago, the wonderful India teams. It's what they've done, what they've achieved in Test cricket that are the most memorable
And
things.
that's where my point goes is, if those and you look at the West Indies team as well
Of
from a
course,
few
West
years back,
Indies. Yeah,
if money wasn't a problem back then to perform on the field, strictly talking about performing on the field, I mean, surely performance isn't only, I mean, surely facilities are better now than they were, even with the lack of money, than they were back then.
That's what I'm talking about, right? Having a look, the ICC working with the boards to ensure that they've got really strong first-class structures in place and holding them to account, right? And working with them to ensure that they've got good programs in place, good structures in place to ensure that you can develop quality players going to international cricket.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What's being done? I'm just saying, yeah, we talk about what are the solutions that could happen. I don't see anything being done. I just see T20 leagues everywhere. There's T20 leagues overlapping one another in January, February, and it's a whole mess. And nothing's streamlined. Nothing is structured at all in the cricketing calendar. What is the ICC actually doing? To me, it seems like a toothless tiger. That's just my opinion.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
Fair
we could go on all day,
enough.
as you said. So let's go on to the actual test match itself. Ollie Pope rides his luck. England choose a couple of 30-plus-year-olds when they're thinking about the Ashes next year. But in terms of England's style of play itself, I came across a good viewpoint this morning on Twitter that England got themselves in very good positions, but gave their wicket away a lot. And they do that a lot in this style, don't they? When you come up against the better teams, they get exposed a little bit. And that showed that happened in the last 12 months, that you will be exposed when you come up against the best teams. And if you away in the Ashes next year in Australia, if you're not making use of your starts, you're going to lose.
Yes. I mean,
What
surely
do you reckon?
for they scored 416. If they score that on a Melbourne pitch, I mean, Australia are beating that any day.
Well, not even that. I think if England score 416 in Melbourne, you're going to have to bat a lot better than they did yesterday.
Yes. Yep.
Right? Because Ollie Pope had a lot of luck. West Indies couldn't catch. And England gave a lot of opportunities where they looked to be on top. And I understand you want to play that attacking style of play, but it's about playing the percentages as well when you can, and being ruthless. I don't think this England team at this stage, for all the praise they give themselves, are ruthless enough to be considered a very, very, very strong test team at this moment in time to match it with the best teams in the world.
Fair enough. I
That's my view
totally
on
agree
them.
with that. I totally agree with that. I mean, you can see Joe Root playing a rash shot.
Joe Root gives his wicket away a lot for such a top class, awesome player. He leaves a lot of runs out there for a player of his ability. West Indies shouldn't, with all due respect, on these pitches against West Indies attack that's been toiling so far in this, it shouldn't give him too many issues. A player of his ability is just giving it away.
Yep, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see how this team shapes up before the tour of Australia. And also, you know, they have the Sri Lanka tour coming up as well. So it'd be really interesting
Yes.
to see what changes are made to for that tour.
So they've got Sri Lanka at home, then Pakistan away, New Zealand away later this year as well. So there's some big series for them. But yeah, I think just being more ruthless is going to be very, very important for England, because in Australia, if you're getting starts, it's not going to be enough. That's
Absolutely.
been a problem for England here for over a decade. They
Yes.
can't play well long enough to win in
I
Australia.
mean, yeah, they haven't won a test match, so yeah.
Not even winning a test. They talk about us having won a
I
series
can't
since
remember
2001.
I can't remember them winning a session, let alone a test.
Yeah. Maybe a couple of times in the last series in the Melbourne game when they were in the field, but yeah,
Maybe.
it's
Yeah.
few, it's lean pickings,
Yeah.
right? And England fans love to talk about Australia not winning a series since 2001 in England, and that's fair enough. I think Australia should have won at least one or
But
two
Australia
series in that time.
competes. Australia
At
competes.
least we compete and we retain the Ashes the last two times.
Yep.
That is not good from an England perspective to drop two test matches on a regular basis at home
Yep.
in an Ashes series.
Absolutely. That's fun though,
So
as a non-England
I
fan. That's
like it.
fun.
I like it. But if, you know, they praise their team after an Ashes series, a drawn Ashes series to all. If we drop two tests at home here in Australia, there's a lot of criticism,
I
starting from the
mean,
team itself.
they had a parade when they finished fourth at the 94 Football World Cup.
Yes.
I mean,
It's about mentality, isn't it?
you can just make what you want of that.
It's about mentality. It really is. And well, you know what? We've been safe from a lot of noise pollution in the last week as well, with Spain winning the Euros. So
Yep.
that was
Off.
good.
Off. Yeah. I mean,
That was good.
definitely. Definitely. Thank you. Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. Anyway, that rounds up our discussion today. The selections in Australia and England, and the state of Test cricket, and our viewpoints on that. For me, definitely more the ICC can do, what's being done, what plans are in place, etc. And England in a strong position against the West Indies. I really hope the West Indies can show some grit with the bat
Yep.
on what looks like a pretty decent pitch, in good conditions at Nottingham. Fingers crossed for that today. But yeah, thanks to the listeners. You can catch us on Crick Blog Pod on Instagram and X. We'll be posting some reels there and some content. Thanks, Nash. Have a good one, mate.
See ya.